Did you know Super Awesome Mix has an app? Go to the Apple App Store today and download Super Awesome Mix. It's free. You could start creating and sending your own digital mixtapes in just a few clicks. Also, there's links to our Instagram account and a link where you can follow your favorite podcast. Speaking of which, welcome back to another Super Awesome Mix. My name is Matt Sidholm alongside my co-host and co-founder of Super Awesome Mix, Samer Abu Salbi. Samer, how are we doing this week?
Doing real well. Things are good. We are traveling back in time today, which is always exciting, to a time when neither of us were alive, in fact.
That's right. We decided to just, get in the Wayback Machine. We've certainly referenced some older songs before, but we decided we would kind of dedicate a whole mix to music from the 1960s.
Yeah, the 1960s. This was, you know, we were talking about this before the recording of the show. This is in the category of both the easiest mix to put together and the hardest mix to put together. Because, I mean, how do you capture the incredible decade of the 60s in music in 12 songs? You can't. And there are so many notable bands and musicians missing from this list that, in fact, when I shared it with my girlfriend, she was like aghast that I didn't have a number of people. And I'm like, you know, it wasn't that she was upset with who I picked. It was just that I didn't add all these other people. I'm like, right, but that I don't have enough space. I only get the 6 songs.
Yeah, I mean, we had 12 songs total. We probably could have picked 1,200 songs if we went through it
easily.
All. Like, oh, there's easily. That one, there's that one, there's that one. Yeah, so many great songs. There were no Beatles songs. We're just going to spoil it for you right now. We didn't pick any Beatles songs. I know for me, maybe I thought that was a little too obvious. Like, although I pick a couple of like maybe obviously big artists on my list, but I kind of went in a different direction almost intentionally, I'd say, for myself.
Me too. Yeah. Like, I think that's exactly my thought process was. There were some ones that kind of everyone would think, and there's, to your point, there's some of that here too. You know, it's not that we went like deep cuts here. A lot of this is like, of course you picked it, but yeah, we didn't want to go with some of the largest names out of the 60s, let's say. Not that they aren't, you know, worthy of being on a mix. They absolutely are, but you know, we just here we go, we picked our 6 each. There's nothing wrong. There's plenty of good music to go around from the decade.
That's right.
All right, with that, let's kick this thing off. Your pick was first, and you went with Bus Stop by the Hollies, which I'll just say real quick, I have been singing nonstop in my head. This is the one that got stuck in my mind of all of these.
Yeah, this is a catchy song, a very catchy song. They were part of the British Invasion, okay, so British rock band. Had a number of hits, really. So this is not just, you know, their only song or anything like that. Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress is another one that is pretty popular. But I love how clever, you know, it's a real simple melody here and just a real clever lyrics here. I love it. I think the one I'd call out is someday my name and hers will be the same. And it just describes this chance meeting at a bus stop. They share an umbrella and then they fall in love. So it's a really, really kind of simple love song, but also very cleverly written. And I love the Hollies, but this song in particular, I feel like doesn't get enough love.
I agree. It's really good. As I said, I've been obsessing over this one and singing the lines in my head over and over. I also, you know, this is going to be a recurring theme in some of my notes here. I love the kind of like the simplicity and let's say innocence, for lack of a better word, of some of the lyrics, you know, obviously back then in comparison to how it has evolved over time. So the idea of like someday my name and hers are going to be the same is like the 60s way of being like, oh yeah, we're, you know, going to get together, you know, get married, hook up, all those things. And today it would be far more explicit. like, no doubt, right? So I love kind of the evolution of music, even lyrically through the decades, where now they will, you know, literally spell it out of what they mean by here. But here it was, you know, a little softer. I don't think ears back then were ready for some of the more aggressive lyrics that exist today.
Yeah, I agree. It's like society almost forced a little bit more creativity as it relates to some of the writing.
Right.
Yeah, no, totally agree. Well, speaking of creative writing, let's go to your first pick. You went with White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane.
Right. This one is definitely one where it's like, it's huge, right? This song still gets so much playtime today. In fact, it was used in the trailer of the most recent Matrix film. And sadly, at least in my opinion, I think the trailer was the best part of the movie. Don't you hate when that happens, though? It's like, as you watch the trailer and you're like, right, that was actually the best thing about this film.
Yeah, it's hard, though, when you get to part four of a series right. to really yes. keep up the greatness of it.
Yeah, not everything can be John Wick.
That's right.
But, you know, this is an amazing song. I mean, truly, I love the lyrics of it. The first time I heard it, I was obsessed with it. I still play it today. It makes many of my own mixes. It's beautiful. And the story behind it is really interesting. It's like that she, you know, it was the writer Grace Slick. She actually, obviously a lot of people have like conferred this with drugs and taking LSD and having hallucinogens, you know, mixed in with Lewis Carroll's like very weird world of Alice in Wonderland. But she actually writes here, and I'll just quote, "I identified with Alice. I was a product of 50s American Palo Alto, California, where women were housewives with short hair and everything was highly regulated. I went from the planned, bland 50s to the world of being in a rock band without looking back. It was my Alice moment heading down the hole. White Rabbit seemed like an appropriate title." So I just loved that this was really just like a journey of her leaving behind, you know, the world that she grew up in and discovering one that was far different and psychedelic in nature. So that made me love the song even more as I read about that.
That's awesome. I love that quote. Yeah, this song, the note I wrote is just, man, this song is a trip, and you don't even have to do drugs to kind of for it to get yeah. to you, right? Like,
right.
just musically and the lyrics, it's like it'll take your mind some places for sure.
It's really good, yeah. So I love this song. I'll forever be playing it. And Jefferson Airplane, of course, has a lot of really like amazing hits that still get a lot of airtime today. So check them out if you haven't listened to them in a while. But let's move on. Track 3, your pick, another amazing song, "Give Me Some Lovin'" by the Spencer Davis Group.
Yeah, so the singer here should sound familiar to some people, okay, because it is Steve Winwood. And Steve Winwood became, you know, probably best known here in the U.S. for he had a run of solo hits in the like late 80s, early 90s. I think Valerie is a pretty big hit by him. Roll With It still gets a lot of radio play. But for me, Give Me Some Lovin', Spencer Davis Group. This is my high point for Steve Winwood. It's a British rock band. Yeah, I mean, I love, this may surprise you, this song gets me fired up. I love the energy of it. I think you could still play this song in arenas now and people would be on their feet and getting into it. But it's just such a great song. And just from that beginning, like bass line into the whole thing and the organ playing. Steve Winwood's the organist, too. So not only
That's
is he
incredible.
The vocalist, but he's just, you know, playing the organ there that you hear throughout. So I don't know. I just have always loved this song. So I was glad that it fell into the decade that we were making this mix from.
It is a great song. I also wrote that this will get you moving and clapping and wanting to dance and move and all of that. So it definitely goes in the category of all fired up. Great mix that you're perpetually working on. And absolutely, it still holds up. It's an amazing song. So much fun.
So speaking of still holding up, your next pick, you went with Mrs. Robinson by Simon and Garfunkel.
One of my all-time favorite movies is The Graduate. I think across all genres, across all decades, I love that movie. Dustin Hoffman in it is, of course, very young and just so talented. And the story is interesting. I think probably the time it was even, I didn't grow up watching it, right? Like I grew up, I mean, I watched it much later than its release, but I imagine it had to be kind of like a shocking film, I guess, in the story, controversial perhaps. But this song wasn't really written for the film. They had written the song Mrs. Roosevelt. And in fact, there's some lines here, you know, where it's like going to the candidates debate and things that kind of hinted to the fact that Simon and Garfunkel had written a song about Eleanor Roosevelt. But then the creator of the film, The Graduate, realized that Roosevelt and Robinson could like swap out very easily. So he had them just kind of tweak it a little bit. And then the song became Mrs. Robinson and became the song that kind of, you know, went along with The Graduate. And I love that. So great song. Again, I've listened to this. I've listened to so many covers of it. You can do some really cool covers of this song. So had to throw this one on my 60s mix for sure.
Yeah, great song, of course. Did not know that about Miss Roosevelt, but that explains the candidates debate line in there.
Right.
which always kind of confused me. You know, I have not seen The Graduate, now that you said that. I haven't seen that movie.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to have to add that to my list. I don't know what it's streaming on, but I'm going to track it down and watch it. Because, yeah, now that you say that, I'm like, you know what? I haven't seen that movie. I, of course, know this song. I know, you know, it's such a popular movie that I feel like I know it, right? But I've never sat down and watched the whole thing. So, yeah, I'm going to have to do that at some point and, you know, get a little bit more context for this song and probably so many other pop culture references that have come out of that movie. But yeah, great.
There are a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, there's no better time than this season. And that brings us to track 5, which is your pick, Time of the Season by The Zombies. Another favorite of mine.
Great. Great segue there. Nice work.
Hey, thank you. Thank you.
All right, so another British rock band. So for me, that's 3 for 3 right now on the British Invasion. But so they formed and broke up entirely in the 1960s, which is kind of fascinating. They have come back together, like starting in the late 80s in various forms. And so, you know, you may have seen shows out there featuring the Zombies. I don't think it's all the original members, but they almost didn't release this one as a single. And then they decided to at the last minute, and it ended up reaching 3 on the Billboard charts. So ends up being a massive hit for them, and it almost, you know, kind of never was. Of course, the most famous thing about this song, and I think the thing I love about it is just the call and response, the dialogue that they kind of create within the song. I just think that's brilliant. And it's very different musically, too, which I also appreciate.
It is. I have a mix, an ongoing mix that I call moody classic rock songs. And I just can't think of any other way to describe certain music as like moody. And this is on that mix. And maybe it is like the callback that they use, you know, the two people kind of conversing lyrically with one another. It's really well done. It's an amazing song. The line that, you know, I kind of like fell down a rabbit hole researching was the, is he rich like me? Speaking about, you know, this person's dad.
Yeah.
And apparently there's a lot of interpretations about that. And, you know, one of them being like rich here could be rich in you know, not like monetary value, but in values or in kind of like the hippie movement that was occurring in the 60s. But then apparently it was a nod to the song Summertime by George Gershwin, where the line is, oh, your daddy's rich and your ma's good looking. So apparently this was like kind of a nod to that other very well-known song. And that's why they asked the question, you know, is he rich like me?
Oh, interesting. Did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Yeah, a little fun fact there. Cool. All right, next up, you go with White Room by Cream.
Yes. What an amazing, amazing song by Cream. A group that it took me a very long time to discover. Funny enough, not until I think 2 years ago or a year ago when I was watching Ted Lasso. And, you know, there's a scene where Keeley is introducing, I think it was Led Zeppelin, to Roy's niece. And she's like obsessing over it. And then she, you know, Keeley says, wait until you hear Cream. And so I thought, oh, well, I love Zeppelin. I want to go listen to Cream. And so I do. And of course, this is like their most popular song. And I absolutely love it. Like, what a talented group of musicians. And this song was actually written by a poet, which is, I guess, unusual, at least for the time in my research. And he kind of jokes about the lyrics. He says, it was a miracle that it worked, considering it was me writing a monologue about a new flat, meaning a new apartment. Which kind of speaks to the opening lines, you know? It makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah, that does make more sense. Well, you know, what I wrote down when listening to this and probably coming off of White Rabbit as well is, You know, we joked about high school English teachers sort of reading into things, but after like listening to a lot of 60s music, I was like, maybe that's why they felt like they needed to read into it. Like they're just listening to these lyrics that maybe don't quite make sense on the surface. And they're like, let's, right. let's do a deep dive into what they're really talking about.
I love that. that could be it. They're just all products of being children of the 60s.
That's right, yeah. But there's a deeper meaning to everything, yeah.
Everything. It was just, in fact, a drug-fueled mess is what was causing that. That's great. But yeah, I love Cream. Love their, like, rock sound. You know, you get the beginning of kind of that distorted rock, like, starting to appear in the 60s and then really opening the way to the 70s and so forth. Like, I love the through line of rock music and how it's evolved through the ages. So there's just so many good examples of the 60s, and this is absolutely one of them.
Well, and of course, Eric Clapton was in Cream.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. All right. Let's go on to track 7, your pick, Uptight. Parentheses, Everything's All Right by Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, great parenthetical title right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I had Stevie on my birthday mix from 1977. So it's fun to go a decade backwards and still be able to include Stevie Wonder on the mix.
Yep.
This is just an amazing song. I just, again, the energy of it. I love the buildup of it with the different kind of musical instruments that they bring about. Pretty interesting, you know, Stevie Wonder was signed to a record deal when he was really young, you know, like 10 or 11 years old, something like that. And actually was known as like little Stevie Wonder, right? Because he was essentially a kid out there singing.
Yeah.
And as he got older and his voice changed, as is wont to do with men as they get older, there was some question by his record label as to whether or not he could still be a viable commercial artist. And so this was kind of the first song that came out with sort of his new sounding voice. And if you listen to this, it sounds like Stevie Wonder, right? Like it sounds like you would, you know, imagine Stevie Wonder sounding. And because it became a hit, it was actually a really big turning point for him because of those concerns as he got older. So, yeah, kind of interesting fact about this one. But, yeah, just a great song overall and so many great lyrics, but good stuff here.
It is, yeah. That's very interesting. I didn't know that about his background. I wrote on the song my first note, and really kind of my only note here is that this is happiness in a song, because I just can't think of any other way to describe it. It is a very happy feeling song. I also think it's got to have been used in hundreds of films by this point, because I felt like I had like a montage playing in my mind.
Yeah, great montage song. That's a good point.
It's a great montage song. And I also felt that this could be, you know, like this feeling of you being on top of the world and just, again, having a great day. Like, that's this song. So, lovely pick.
All right. Next up, you've got California Dreamin' by the Mamas and the Papas.
Right. This is another one of those, like, major hits from the 60s, even though, you know, supposedly we're not picking them. But this would go on my moody, like, you know, classic rock mixtape as well, because it does kind of have that feeling to it. It's almost like the winter gray feeling really does, you know, show itself in the sound of the song. I don't know how else to describe that, but beautiful song, one of my all-time favorites. Also has some incredible covers. Sia covers a song, is probably one of my most like favorite covers of it. She has just an amazing voice that she brings to these lyrics. And then my really interesting thing that I learned about this is that this song of course features a flute solo. And so what ended up happening is they were recording in the studio. They knew that they needed a solo to fill the gap between, you know, some of the choruses and the verses. And they didn't just want to do a guitar solo because they felt bored at the idea of doing a, you know, like what everyone else is doing. So they run out into the hall and they see this famous flautist, Bud Schenk, in the hallway of their recording studio. And they literally ask him, like, hey, what are you doing right now? Do you want to come in and record a solo for us? Like, we need, you know, essentially kind of a bridge between these two things. He's like, sure. So he listens to the song, and in one take, he plays his flute solo, and that was it. Like, and it's on the track forever and ever. And I just think that is incredible that, you know, the serendipity of something like that, and then how you go to just, like, listen to a song, pop out your flute, and knock out something that becomes... you know, this iconic song for 70 years later. It's amazing. It's also cool.
That's incredible. Yeah, you got to be a really good flautist to just kind of jump in and do that. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, you do.
Yeah. No, this is an incredible song. And yeah, I mean, it still rings true today. I was just in California about a month ago. And yeah, you get out there with the weather and the sun and everything. And yeah, I imagine if you were like back east and in the middle of the winter, yeah, you would be California dreaming after you.
Sure.
You know, like winters get long on the East Coast. And so, yeah, California would sound pretty good. But no, just an incredible song, incredible group. But yeah, not much more to say about this one, but just great pick.
Thank you. All right, track 9. I'm going to read my first note about this before I tell you what the song is. Okay. And my note is, another song for when you're feeling fired up. And it is, of course, I Want You Back by Jackson 5.
Yeah, this was their first big single. So I couldn't believe it. I mean, stretch all the way back to the 1960s, you get, you know, just a taste of Michael Jackson's greatness. But here he is with four of his brothers. Doing the Jackson 5 stuff. But this is this is one, I think my kids have heard this and immediately were like, oh, this song's awesome. Like, they were really into it immediately, which I think is always just the telltale sign for a song that's 50 years old, is if like little kids can hear it and immediately be captured by it. It's like, oh, okay, that's a good one. But this one just in all ways is just so good. Like I said, I mean, you could still play this one at parties now. Everybody will know it and everybody will get into it, you know, just, no way you can feel bad, like listening to the song, even though the song itself, the content is like kind of about heartache.
Right. Right. It is, musically it's an amazing, energetic song. And the other thought I had in listening to this is that we could do an entire like Motown 60s mix, because this, you know, really is like top of the charts whenever you think about Motown. This is one of the big ones. So really, really awesome sound. Incredible that it just, like you said, stands up today and everyone of all ages loves this song. It's great. Wonderful pick.
All right. Next up, you've got Baba O'Riley by The Who.
Yes, The Who. Bob O'Reilly, a.k.a. Teenage Wasteland. I think I actually was first introduced to this song in particular from watching the show Freaks and Geeks. There is a scene, I believe, in the pilot episode, amazing show. I think we've mentioned it before on this podcast. But there's a scene in the pilot, I believe it is, when someone is talking about this song and she calls it Teenage Wasteland. And the guy's character, I'm blanking on all the names here, he's like, it's not Teenage Wasteland, but it's Bob O'Reilly. The name of the song is Bob O'Reilly. And I guess this happened so much that it's just become an unofficial title of the song, which is kind of amazing. But the song itself, you know, whenever I went and discovered it, started listening to it, I could not stop listening to it. I think I had it on repeat indefinitely for months and still enjoyed every listen to it. Still true today. The buildup at the end, I mean, the like synthesizer organ play that opens up this track, everything about this is like, it musically will blow your mind, I think. Like, just there's nothing else like it. And I can't believe that it still sounds so amazing all these years later. So had to put this on the mix.
Yeah, this was one, while I'm taking notes, I'm sitting there going, oh man, great intro. Oh, these lyrics are awesome. Okay. Oh, my legendary outro. And it's just like, so every single part of the song, I was just like, kind of like, oh yeah, this was awesome. This was awesome. No, every part of this is just great. I love it. And it also made me think of, you know, another potential mix for us, which is exactly what you called out, songs that are titled one thing, but better known as a different title.
Yeah, that would be good. That'd be interesting. I bet there's a lot of them out there.
I think there's a lot of them out there that people are like, oh, you mean that song? And it's like, nah, it's actually called this, you know?
Right, right.
but yeah, this is one. Yeah, just love everything about this song. And it could definitely be on a motivation mix, even just musically, if not the, if not the lyrics, just musically, it could be on a motivation.
Yes.
Mix to get you going.
This was one of my favorite songs to play in Rock Band, because the outro is one of those outros in the game where you just make noise to like take you out and But this one in particular is so long, you know, because some of the other songs, like in the game, wherever you've got like a noise outro, it's, you know, 5-10 seconds. But this is like just a solid minute of you beating on the drums or slamming the guitar as much as you can. And it is so satisfying. It's awesome.
That's awesome.
All right. Let's take this thing home. Track 11. Your last pick is Will You Love Me Tomorrow by the Shirelles. Lovely pick. It's a great one.
Yeah, so such a simple but I think really powerful song. Like you kind of talked about it earlier, how just the, you know, society at that time, like you couldn't be very explicit about things. So you kind of had to, you know, write around certain things if you were a songwriter. And I think in this one, you know, they do such a good job. If you listen to the song, you know what they're talking about, but they never actually say it, right? You know, tell right. me now and I won't ask again, will you still love me tomorrow? And so I think that's just very, I don't know, I just think that's really well done when you can kind of say it without saying it. The music here is by Carole King, which I thought was kind of incredible because the song's from like 1962. I think it has almost like a 50s era sound to it. So kind of you could see things evolving a little bit into the 60s from the 50s with a song like this. And this was the first all-black girl group to reach number one, this song. So also kind of a landmark achievement by this one. But yeah, I don't know. I just think it's a great song and it's really well done and should be on the mix.
Yeah, good. Very. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. And Carole King, of course, I think she later went to sing some of these songs herself that she'd written. And those are also beautiful versions. So definitely check all of that out. I mean, so much talent from this time period. Absolutely love the song. I had the exact same note as you about the lyrics here. I feel like this would be, I don't know, like a one night stand today or something.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It could be like it could be interpreted that way. But this is instead like, will you love me tomorrow? Which is like the lyrics are very cute and innocent and charming. It's really lovely.
All right. So appropriately enough, and we're going to talk for 12 minutes about this song because it's a 12 minute yes. long song. All right. You went with The End by The Doors.
Oh, The End by The Doors. Yeah, we do need to talk about this song for 12 minutes. I knew The Doors first from the movie Apocalypse Now. And so that was like, and this song in particular, right? Because it's used in that film. So that was actually my first introduction to The Doors. And then I'm like, oh my God, what did I just hear? I want more of it. And so I went and listened to the, you know, I found the song, listened to it. And again, similar to Bob O'Reilly by The Who, could not stop listening to it. And I listened to a lot of music by The Doors and became obsessed with them. So I had to throw this on here because this was another, you know, kind of landmark song for me growing up and discovering music from, you know, long before I was born and just falling in love with it and just cannot believe that like music like this could have ever been made and still get listened to. This song is just incredible. I mean, it's like, it's so dark and crazy and it's so long and it just has all these different kind of musical elements to it. And the lyrics are fascinating. I love the one line of all the things that he sings. My favorite line in this thing is "Lost in a Roman wilderness of pain." Like, what an amazing line! I absolutely love that. It's very peculiar. He was really into like mythology and old stories and stuff. And a lot of this is Oedipal in nature. Like a lot of the lyrics, so kind of speaks to that. But I just love like just the sound of that one lyric on its own. Lost in a Roman wilderness of pain. That just stands out to me for some reason.
Yeah, this is my new go-to in karaoke, I think. I'm just going to do The End.
That's great, yeah. A lot of people will be with you every minute of the way.
Yeah, just standing up there for about 2 minutes. Like, why isn't he singing? It's just like, no, no words yet. Everybody hang in.
Yep.
Everybody hang in. No, you're right though. This is just an epic song. I love you don't get songs like this now that are this sort of overdone. I mean, you'll see it on albums, but you're gonna have to go kind of deep to see it. But yeah, just for a song like this, and this is on their debut album too, to throw this on here, a 12-minute song like this. Yeah, I mean, that's a big choice to make, I feel like, for a debut album.
Yes. Yes, it is.
But it works, right? Like, you know, it's obviously a well-known song, a well-liked song. Like you said, it's been used in music and pop culture. Like, people know it. But, yeah, this is not sort of your conventional kind of rock song by any means. So,
you're right.
Yeah, like, that's, I find that to be remarkable about this. There you have it. Okay, 12 songs from the 1960s. Okay, of course, as we said at the top of the show, by far not an exhaustive list.
No, definitely not. I mean, we could do volumes 1 through 3,000, I think, and we'd still only scratch the surface.
That's right.
Of the songs from the 60s. But hey, if you liked us diving into this decade, we're happy to do another one. Let us know on Instagram at Super Awesome Mix. We can also pick other decades. You know, we can go all the way back. Let's say, what, the 20s? In fact, we could do some...
That might be a little rough, but yeah. Yeah, we could go a little farther back, sure.
Yeah, you know, 2020.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that'll work. Yeah, that one we could right. definitely pull off. All right.
We'll revisit 2020 specifically, a year we've all collectively decided to just erase from history.
That's right. All right. Well, there you have it. Another super awesome mix for your collection. We'll get to work on another one. And so for Sammer, this is Matt, and we will see you next time. Super Awesome Mix is brought to you by DLM. Make shopping easy with DLM, the one-stop shop for all your casual clothing needs. Shop DLMSupplyCo.com and enter the promo code AWESOME at checkout to save 15% off your first purchase. That's DLMSupplyCo.com.